ki tēnei hāhi i riri, ki Fairfield, kirikiri roa. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I feel like I drew the short straw by talking about Te Tiriti o Waitangi, because in our landscape across Aotearoa, thank goodness I'm week two, or part two. In our nation, it's a controversial subject. And when we consider Te Tiriti o Waitangi or the Treaty of Waitangi, sometimes it evokes emotion. People have heard certain things, usually through the media. Maybe we've read some story, but it doesn't necessarily make us feel that comfortable. And sometimes the information that we've landed on is not necessarily truth. And one of the things our movement has done, our movement, our denomination, the Baptist family of churches across Aotearoa, there's 240 of them, 40 years ago we began a journey led by Baptist Māori Ministries, and in particular led by our first Māori leader in a national role. His name was Trubi Mihaere. He was based in Pukekohe, and he had pastored a church there called Puna o Te Ora. Some of you may have heard of that. In a little community within Pukekohe, it went for a number of years. People were coming to Jesus. Because of the work before that 40 years, since 1954, when out of what used to be called Assembly, that was held in Wellington, in 1954, our delegates and the leadership of the movement at the time had heard what they believed to be the word of the Lord to them, to turn their hearts as a union of churches towards mission to Māori. And they'd made a decision that the first missioner, Sister Joan Milner, would be based in Pukekohe, of all places, in what's called the North Waikato. But because of the Māori things a little bit, we see the world in different ways. So that's considered the Lower Waikato. We can't discuss that today. But it's considered the Lower Waikato by Māori because of the way they define shapes and borders, etc. Sister Joan Milner went as a missionary into Pukekohe. As a result of that, others joined her. We, in Baptist Māori mission, ministries, identify them as pioneers in Māori ministry in Aotearoa. I'm just giving you some history, you realise this, don't you? They were pioneers in Māori ministry and did what they knew to do in those days. In those days, transport in Pukekohe wasn't as easy as it is today. So Sister Joan Milner would bike around the community and sometimes all the way out to Waiuku and all the way out to the other side, or this side actually, of the Waikato River. She'd go to homes of Māori families on marae. She'd want to get to know the families, and she would engage with the children. And like most good Baptists, Māori work started with work amongst children. Our Baptist churches in Aotearoa, New Zealand, in many of our stories, and I don't know about yours here, they started with a Sunday school. And in the 1950s, there were many, many Sunday schools being planted. I was on the pastoral staff of what at the time was called Lower Hutt Baptist Church in the early 2000s. And that church existed because of a Sunday school that was planted by Petone Baptist. And Petone Baptist didn't just plant that one church. They planted many churches in the Hutt Valley because their vision was it would be people could get to a Baptist church within 10 minutes walking, because transport was another thing. And so today, though I don't know how practical it is, today in the Hutt Valley, there's like 8 or 9, maybe 10, different Baptist churches. That happened because in the 1950s, a local church had a vision to plant churches. And that was exactly what Māori Ministries had a vision to do. They called it the Māori Board. It was made up of people that had a vision for ministry to Māori. And from the middle of the 1950s, a work began. That work saw Māori coming to Jesus. Their desire wasn't just that Māori would come to Jesus. Their desire was that Jesus would have what he wanted to have, which was a church that was built. And their vision was that there could be Baptist churches that were full of Māori who had responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I kind of feel like that's what we're about today. We want to see people responding to the good news of Jesus. That still burns in the hearts of members and participants, I forgot what we're all called now, but of Baptist churches across New Zealand. Do I hear an amen? Amen. We want people coming to Jesus. So that's my little first bit of history. 40 years ago, the very first Māori leader, so 40 years is 1985, was aware of the times that were happening in New Zealand. We'd had the Springbok tour. Many of you will know that environment. We'd had land occupations. The first amount of signs and a few years before that had gone up to honour the treaty. Activists were all over the country. And it was a bit of a scary environment after perceivably what was peaceful New Zealand. It had begun in the early 1970s from really a group of educated Māori that had learnt some of the history of New Zealand and began to recognise there's some things out of order. You know, when you're young, excuse me for saying young and educated, sometimes you don't do things very well. But you are stirred by information that you're learning. Some of the activism that happened in those days made people afraid, because it was pretty in your face. And New Zealand began to face some very tumultuous times because of a document that was now being highlighted, Te Tiriti o Waitangi, or the Treaty of Waitangi. For many years, it had lay in a basement in Wellington. Turns out it was being eaten by the rats, which is why you get the shape of the piece of paper when you see it down in Wellington, or images of it. It literally was laying in a basement. And people thought it was a forgotten document until the beginning of the 1970s. And that changed the landscape of Aotearoa, New Zealand, forever. I don't know when Carl was here. Is that like a month ago or 6 weeks? Yeah. Carl was here, and if you haven't heard his message, I feel very embarrassed to be the second in the order. But he gave a wonderful message leading into just giving us an awareness of something that has probably troubled us, and definitely in our 240 churches across Aotearoa, New Zealand, has been extremely controversial. We say the statement and people feel uncomfortable. Some people don't just feel uncomfortable, they feel really annoyed. And so when I got my role, I thought, oh, this is going to go well, isn't it? But I'm in my role because I believed what Jesus said, that there is good news. I believed as I was adopted into a family in Christchurch, I was born of a father who was from Raglan, also known as Whangaroa, who, because of his aunt, valued education and said to my father, well, you might not be doing well at school. You need to go to Christchurch with my oldest son and get a trade. You get a trade and you've got a job for life. You'll be able to provide for your family. You'll live well. She sent him to Christchurch in the early 1960s. I hope he never listens to this particular recording. He played up a little bit with a European girl that he fell in love with in Christchurch, just a young girl, and I came to be. At the time, it wasn't very acceptable unmarried and pregnant. My mother hid her pregnancy from her own mother for the first 8 months. Hello. I don't know how you do that, and I don't need to know. But in the end, praise God for the Salvation Army, they had an initiative called Bethany, which happened to be just around the corner from where my mother was living, and so she went to Bethany. And I was born in Christchurch, Papa Nui, in a place that's no longer there called Bethany, cared for by people that did not want my mother to feel shame. They wanted her to be loved and accepted, understanding that she didn't necessarily do the right thing, but neither did my father. And they wanted the child, turned out to be me, to be born in love. And I'm forever grateful for that ministry. People don't know what they're doing sometimes when they're being called to specific ministries, but that was a gift to my life. I was then adopted to a family that had immigrated from Great Britain here, from London, in fact. They moved here, they lived in Christchurch, and they'd had a tragedy, a loss of a child. They were unable to have other children. They'd really like to have adopted African children, but it was very difficult in New Zealand to adopt African, so they adopted Māori. I was brought up in church. And even though my parents, my biological parents, had had me in the way that they did, God had a bigger plan. Because it turns out that before I was born, He knew me. And praise God for the story of my adopted parents who, through the church, introduced me to Jesus. At 12 years old, we had moved to Rotorua from Christchurch. That was like a culture shock, could I tell you? And it was also like a culture shock when I went to Rotorua Baptist Church, because I'd never been to a Baptist church in my entire life. I'd had a friend that attended the Oxford Terrace Baptist Church in Christchurch, and I completely believed he wasn't a Christian because he wasn't in the church I was in, which was a Pentecostal church. I learned that Baptists are Christians. I went into that church and I never knew that God was making arrangements for the future, that He had a call on my life, and that part of that call was to serve the Lord within our Baptist churches or the Baptist Union of New Zealand. But He had a plan. And I think in this building, there's many of us who have known that God has had a plan for your life, just like me. I'm not unusual in this Baptist world. I thought I was. But I'm not unusual in this Baptist world. God speaks, and He speaks to the hearts of individuals who choose to listen, who prayerfully listen. He still speaks today. And maybe, just like me, you're here in this room because God spoke to you about your life, about your calling, about your mission, about your responsibility as you have responded to the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves and Jesus continues to save. Praise God. This is all the periphery. Have I run out of time? I could look at the clock that hasn't been changed. This is just a little bit of background. I have a role. The role is so long in Māori that it's very hard to say, isn't it, Gaylene? Te pō arataki mō te whikoi. Te pō arataki is just simply about a guide regarding te tiriti o waitangi. Like, how are we going to do our relationship? What do we want to do? What do we believe God's calling us to? And fundamentally, that's the thing that matters the most. What is the word of God to the Baptist churches in Aotearoa, New Zealand, concerning the treaty or the covenant relationship that in the 1800s, if you consider Carl's message that he brought to us as he gave some of that history, what was God's plan? One of those things, I would say, that is not written in the treaty, but I believe is written on the hearts of God's people because God spoke is, we are better together. We just are. Sometimes we don't know how to be better together, but I would say that the word of the Lord to us about te tiriti o waitangi isn't to bring up the controversy or the legalities. It's simply to recognize that two better than one. We have a unique gift. We don't treat it like a gift, but we have a unique gift in the context of these islands that are found in the Antipodes. We have a unique gift. Very, very few across the earth, especially in the time where settlements was happening, excuse me for using the word, but when colonization was unfolding, very few are found to have what we've got. And I would say this is a treasure. Our Māori word is taonga, he taonga tēnei. This is a treasure because it remains the same. Two are better than one. We are better together. And where, as Psalm 133 says, where there's actually unity, which requires work, which requires effort, which requires sometimes research, which requires us to come to a point of understanding, where there is unity, God, not us, God commands a blessing, and the blessing is life. Life forevermore. That's the gift that we as the church have to bring to our local neighborhood, to our cities, to our nations, and internationally. Okay, is that all right for a foundation? If I've got 3 minutes, there it is up there. Okay. I do want us to go to the scripture, and if you've got a Bible with you, I'd love us to look at Luke chapter 22. If you want to just hold that scripture, you might have a device or actually a book. And this is what I would say is the foundation of the discussion we're having, and I just have to keep remembering it's week two or session two. I would like to mihi, which is a greeting, to your leadership, ki ngā rangatira, ngā kaumātua, ngā kuia, to those who are giving eldership to this church. When I came into this facility, and it's odd to talk about a facility, but I could see people care about Fairfield Baptist Church. It's beautiful. Someone cares about the buildings where you meet on Sunday morning. Well, also someone paid for it, obviously. Someone cares about where the people of God are gathering. And it goes all the way down to that rail that's over there. And I know it seems pointless to talk about a rail, but there are many Baptist churches. Oh, hope no other Baptist churches listen. There are many Baptist churches that don't put a rail up. And for those people that struggle to get up the two steps, that there is called care. This environment of this local Baptist church says someone cares. And I wanted to honor you and I wanted to honor your eldership this morning, because the beauty that you may take for granted, this, I mean, all it is a building, but someone cares. Some people care. And what a blessing. It looks beautiful. It's got interesting things. And then we have the service this morning, and different people curated different portions of it. And they're doing it because they care. And they want to take seriously what it means to gather together as the people of God to worship God. 40 years ago, somebody, our very first Māori leader, cared about peace and unity. And he said, in the time of controversy, as tangata whenua, or as a person of the land who is in a responsible leadership position within the Baptist churches of New Zealand, I would love to start talking about the Treaty of Waitangi in a way that might bring peace and unity, where we might be able to address hostility and love might be shared amongst us. 40 years ago, our first national Māori leader felt the call of God to do something and bring into a discussion something that was a hot topic and divisive across New Zealand, because he felt the church could be leaders in a discussion that might allow the beauty of what was in God's heart to be discovered as we explored the actual heart of the Treaty of Waitangi. You know, as I know now, our missions people and other members of the people, the body of Christ, were very engaged with the creation of that document. They wanted New Zealand, Aotearoa, to flourish. They wanted settlers to flourish. They wanted tangata whenua to flourish. And 40 years ago, Trubi Mihaere decided to stand and say, could we have a new conversation? And I went to one of those conversations that happened in the new build of Pukekohe Baptist Church, which had then become the Franklin Baptist Church. And two congregations had come together, Puna o Te Ora, a Māori Baptist congregation, and Pukekohe Baptist Church. And they'd said, we would love to example together as a local church that we can be better together. So they built a building. They left their respective buildings, and in 1987 they moved in. They had a dream. Trubi, in one of the very first weekends after the opening, took all these seats out of the room and put mattresses in the room. And on a Friday night, he gathered anyone that wanted to come, and there would have been 120 people in the room. And he gave a lecture. And then they slept in the building. I don't know how we were allowed to do this. Then we slept in the room overnight. And the next day we had discussions and further lectures to begin a journey that might help reframe both the story and our responsibility with the Treaty of Waitangi. And can I just tell you, though you may not know, Baptist Māori Ministries have now been telling that story for 40 years. in any church that has wanted us to come. We do it in the national space, and it annoys the living daylights out of people sometimes. We do it in little churches. We take people onto marae. We take people to spaces and tell the story. But can I just tell you, from a Baptist Māori perspective, we're not doing like we're victims of colonization. We're telling the story because we believe we're better together. We're telling the story because we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and its power. Does that make sense? We're telling the story because truth matters, and sometimes truth isn't great. Sometimes our truths are messy. Sometimes in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we've got it wrong. But Jesus is our living hope. And he is also our peace, who breaks down every dividing wall. That's our message when it comes to Te Tiriti or Waitangi. Do you know, in that space of, the wonderful thing is that I was brought up for the first 12 years of my life in a Pentecostal church. So thankfully it's got nothing to do with the Baptists. When I was growing up in the Pentecostal church, I don't know if you know much about Pentecostal churches, but it was like, it was a thing. You go to church, cram-packed full. This is how I grew up. Cram-packed full. The singing would lift the roof, and they sung a lot. The preaching was like ferocious. People would be singing and dancing. My parents were very formal English people. You'd never know that in church on a Sunday morning when they wanted to praise God, because they learned from someone else joy could look a particular way. I think other people thought, what on earth are you doing? I did. Here's the thing. They didn't know anything about what it meant to be Māori. The Pentecostal churches were very nervous of it. And so they'd rather me speak in tongues than I spoke in tongues than I spoke in Māori. Because they were absolutely certain that anything and everything to do with being Māori was evil. It was dark and it was not of God, and you needed to come out of that crowd and come into this situation. They've changed. Many of us have changed. But during that time that they were teaching us not to speak in Māori, somebody in the Māori world had a revelation. And the revelation was simply this: if you are not responsible with your heart language, you will lose it and it will become extinct. They knew that in other parts of the world, this had been the case. So they didn't do nothing and just meditate on that thought. They began a movement. And last week, Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, or this month of September, are we still in September? Right. This month of September is what we would identify as Mahuru Māori, which by and large, they're encouraging people to speak as much Māori as they can. For those who greeted in Te Reo this morning, I can't tell you how grateful we are, because it's appropriate that a heart language of a people could live, but not just that, that a heart language of a people could proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That a heart language of a people could proclaim good news and truth. And so we've had something like 50 years of that. And that's been transformative for our people. I have 3 grandchildren, and all of my grandchildren are growing up in an environment that allows them to be able to speak Te Reo Māori. Well, they can speak English really well, but to learn and to speak Te Reo Māori. My daughter and her husband have just moved to Raglan so that they can be on our home marae, the marae of my biological parents, or my father, so that they can be familiar as carriers of the gospel, but become familiar with the cultural practices of a way of being salt and light in the heart of a community that really needs the gospel today. They want to become insiders in that space as they carry that gospel. Is all of this too much? There's a story unfolding. So I wanted to greet your elders. I want to greet your pastor. Mihatu, mihiatu, te rangatira o tēnei hāhi, who of course is away. Is it a holiday? Love that. But I honour the invitation that comes from your elders and from your leader to speak to this subject, because the end of this second series, or the second in the series, is really that you might hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit when it comes to Te Tiriti or Waitangi, the Treaty of Waitangi. Because there might be something that God is actually speaking into the hearts of New Zealand Baptists. And this morning, the invitation is, those who have ears to hear, you can listen to Luke Carr Morgan, but could we listen to the Spirit? Because out of what the Holy Spirit says concerning a treaty or a covenant relationship, if there's a response that we might make, transformation could come. Gospel transformation could come. And can you imagine an Aotearoa where two is better than one? And where the many are hosted in a beautiful way so they can call all of us together Aotearoa New Zealand home. I want to read this scripture to you. It won't seem like it relates, but it does. And really, this is the institution of the Lord's Supper. And it starts Luke 22 verse 14. We all know this. We know this each time we take communion together. A beautiful moment in our church lives. This is what it says. When the hour came, and we know what hour that was, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not eat of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took the loaf of bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup that's poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand's on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it's been determined, but woe to the one by whom he is betrayed. And then they began, in a normal, distracted way, to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. Jesus was doing something in a moment that was traditional as they were celebrating the Passover, but there was a new thing that was springing up both in the person of the Christ and in the next thing that brought a new covenant. that we live in today. And what I wanted to say about that covenant, because we know what cost Jesus to live out the journey that was necessary for him to do so, so that there would be a new and living way. We have the benefit in 2025 of that covenant relationship that we have with God, and that is the foundation by which then we explore things like Te Tiriti or Waitangi. Because the people in those days saw that we're asking as the crown, we're asking Māori leaders to sign this. Some of them couldn't sign, so they put their thumbprint on the piece of paper. They went up and down. They needed missionaries with them to help convince Māori leadership that this was a good treaty to enter into. This was an important covenant. We would all flourish together. There's not winners and losers. This is going to benefit who you are and how you are in this land. The beauty of that is that we get to have the conversation in 2025. We can do it differently than they do it in a political arena. We can do it differently than the way we petition the government. Toitū Te Tiriti was the last statement that came out last year, as it felt like there were questions being raised by our government or our coalition government. And so Toitū Te Tiriti was an initiative from a bunch of, again, younger Māori. And they led a hikoi or a walk all the way to Parliament at the beginning of last year. It got widely publicised. And one more time, the discussions become the hot topic. They're equally as divisive often as they were in the 1970s and 1980s. And I go, but God. But God who keeps his covenants. But God who has allowed us, by the shedding of his only begotten son, by his blood, we've entered a covenant relationship with God and with a God that keeps his covenants. And so, here's the joy of that. And the question simply is, what's my responsibility with that covenant? What's my responsibility? And my first responsibility, which I would want to offer to you as a church, I'd want to offer it to you, and I'm sure this is actually happening, as an eldership and those in leadership, I would say we need to seek God. We need the word of the Lord. We can come up with our own bright ideas and our own initiatives. Sometimes we can be stirred because we feel embarrassed by some of the stories that we've heard. We feel uncomfortable by some injustices at times, or we feel angry because we're so over the conversation, but God. And I would say the churches of Aotearoa New Zealand, not just our Baptist churches, need to collectively come together and seek the face of the living God who keeps his covenants. And what I know about that is we know how to do that. We might not know how to answer currently the issues surrounding the treaty. We might have extremely differing opinions. And actually, in this room, there probably are varying opinions from one extreme to the other, maybe. But none of that has ever stopped us from coming to the throne room of God in prayer to seek his face. And one thing I know about our Baptist churches since I've been here, since 12 years old, is that we're committed to seek the mind of Christ together. That's one of our jobs as Baptists. Our Baptist ecclesiology isn't based on being told from the front and a small group of leaders what God is saying to us. Our job together is collectively to seek the mind of Christ. And I would say to every Baptist church in Aotearoa, New Zealand, here's a subject matter amongst many where we should be getting together and praying. Because if we've lost the art of prayer, we will lose our way. And if Te Tiriti o Waitangi, if all that does is cause us to get together to seek the mind of Christ, praise God. Because what I also learned in my Baptist, especially in my early Baptist church experience, is when we seek the mind of Christ, sometimes we decide what colour the building will be painted. And sometimes we decided about things that actually matter. We would come together as a membership to seek the mind of Christ about a couple in our church who felt called to the mission field internationally. We did it because we knew that they weren't going as individuals, they were going to go with the support of our church, and we were going to have to put our money where our mouth was. So we needed to collectively hear what God was saying to that couple, or to an individual, by the way, because that would happen many times as well. We collectively needed to know, is this the will and the purpose of the Lord? That's a big ask for people, but we did it. And we sent people to the mission field, supported by our church, because our church had looked for the mind of Christ. We prayed together and we supported them. And we would look for their reports to find out what was happening. And year by year we'd get those reports and we remained supporters. Baptist churches across Aotearoa, New Zealand have done that time after time after time. We should not stop seeking the mind of Christ together. Te Tiriti o Waitangi is a treaty and it's a covenant. And our first port of call is to go to Jesus in prayer. Is that helpful? Because God turns hearts and he gives wisdom to those who are willing to ask. Those who are historians like Carl, who spoke to you, he had to do a piece of work, some research to find out the story. If there's historians and people that love the backstory, we should have them doing some work together to find out all of the ins and outs of the story that keeps becoming a controversial thing in our communities. We should have people telling our stories, the stories of Aotearoa, New Zealand, and the Treaty of Waitangi. We should find out how God was actually involved with that document. You know, Carl said in his message, really, the treaty's ours. And he was talking to the church. He was talking to the people of God. The treaty's ours. Because we understood what it meant, the gravity of what it meant to actually make a covenant relationship, one people to another. And we have one who has demonstrated to what extent he was willing to go to create a covenant relationship in which you and I have life together. I would just love to suggest to you this morning that as we prayerfully approach God concerning a controversial document now, eaten by the rats. It's not really a document. It's a choice for relationship. As we approach that, what's your part? You might be tangata tiriti, which is a person of the treaty that's not Māori, or a tangata whenua. That's partnership. But what's your part to play? And what's my part to play? I want to say that in 40 years, we haven't done a good job as Baptist Māori at what Trubi Mihaere initiated. We've certainly named the toilets in the Māori language, Sometimes we've given the church a Māori name because they were interested. Invercargill Central Baptist Church, I forgot what their name is, but anyway, they decided they'd like to have a Māori name. And honestly, that's a blessing. However, that doesn't mean we're better together. And what we don't have yet, 40 years on, is the light of Christ that the church should be to demonstrate to the world, or at least to Aotearoa New Zealand, what it looks like together. What do we sound like together? What is it like when we gather together? Because that's a lot of difference. And to get difference working well together, you have to have a lot of conversation. And the wonderful thing about us as Baptists is we get a lot of conversation and a lot of prayer. And as we seek Jesus, we find a way to be better together and therefore be the light of Christ in our communities as we show what it looks like to honour covenant relationship or a treaty. What Christ wants to do among us by his Spirit is to take the fear out. Is to take the toxicity out. And to simply invite you to draw near to him as he will draw near to you. And for us to do that together. To be able to see what is Christ calling us into whenever we hear the statement, the treaty of Waitangi or Te Tiriti or Waitangi. One of the benefits that I'd like to also suggest out of the Treaty of Waitangi that has wanted to preserve one of our treasures, which is language, not just any language, our heart language, is that we would like to open the doors for the many languages that are heard across Aotearoa New Zealand. We would like to hear the people that have brought their languages from their nations that are their heart language. We would like to hear it as scripture is read in their language, because what that's honouring is place. And it's honouring the welcome of the many peoples that are coming to call Aotearoa home. And as we make room for people and their ways, we're making room for their languages. Many of our churches today have the opportunity to hear other languages and to celebrate God's word being spoken. The public reading of the scripture being read, and you probably do it here, the public reading of the scriptures being read in other languages, greetings being made to you in the name of the Lord in other languages. That's a simple little thing that becomes a byproduct of the Treaty of Waitangi, because for Māori, there's a desire to honour everyone that wants to come and make Aotearoa home. Honour marae, many, many times, when other nations come, they're invited to stand and speak in their native tongue, and no one cares whether you can understand it. What they care about is that individual and that person and their people group are honoured by speaking their heart language. The lovely thing often about those people is that they're able to speak whatever their language might be, and they're able to also speak English so that people can understand. But first and foremost in that place, they want to elevate the languages of the nations, the heart language. I just wanted to make a suggestion this morning that that's one of the beautiful things that can emerge out of a commitment to the treaty and to the covenant relationship. I just want to go back to the main thing. We're Baptists, and it's in our history, in all of our gatherings, to encourage the people to come together and seek the mind of Christ because that's the mind that will unify us over controversial subjects. Because as you and I know, the Treaty of Waitangi in 2025 is not the only controversial subject that's up for grabs. But Christ has given us a way. And actually, Baptists are a bit of a freak when it comes to other forms of ecclesiology, because there's a lot of other forms of way people do it. We're not right. But this was a way that the pioneers of our Baptist movement many, many years ago felt that God was leading us as kings and priests to serve our God. Can I encourage you to keep being Baptist in your ecclesiology, and particularly over the subject, so that the thing that fuels the conversation is the mind of Christ? Okay, I've said it so many times, you'll nearly fall asleep. But my role in our churches, though it's called Te Pau Arataki mo te hikoi, and though at times I have to elevate the thing we've been committed because of our Māori leadership over 40 years, though it's important to elevate that covenant relationship, the treaty, that document, my job really as a minister within our Baptist churches is to elevate the thing that Christ has led us to seek first the mind of Christ. And that's what I'd love to bless you with this morning, your capacity to be able to bow your head in prayer collectively, to hear what the Lord would say among the people. And prophetically, I would want to say, transformation can come because we're committed to keep a covenant relationship, as Jesus would lead us to keep that covenant relationship. The God who keeps covenants will allow by his Spirit a transformation to come. People will actually, who knew, but people will come to Jesus because of our commitment to honor something that's ages old but actually means something to God today. Justice is in the heart of Jesus. Justice does not mean winners and losers, because Jesus, the person of justice, is life and life everlasting. We all win. We all win. This morning, I want to encourage you, seek the Lord. And I want to invite you, because we're closing any second. But I want to, maybe we could just stand together, if you're willing. You might have a question, and we're going to go and have a cup of something out in the foyer, way out there, in the cafe area. It would be wonderful to bring your question. And there's no, like, questions are great. And I'm willing to have those questions, but there might be something that Jesus is prompting your heart with this morning. Hopefully I'm not just a nuisance to you, but hopefully you have the capacity to be hearing the whispers of the Holy Spirit. And if that's the case, we, whoever we is, would love to pray with you. Because maybe God is speaking to your heart by his Spirit. And just for a moment, there might be another need in you, and you want to come and have prayer, and you're welcome to come, because this front area is open. But it's our privilege to pray for you as you seek to hear what the Spirit's saying. And so just in these few moments, if you're feeling the Holy Spirit is speaking and you want to come, that's going to be really uncomfortable. But if you want to come, would you just step out from your seat and come? We'd be glad to pray for you.